Welcome back for the day show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Zilla, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a little bit, we'll bring in the entirety of the Nick Sirianni press conference. Wednesday press conference as the Eagles get set for a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday.
The who?
The Jaguars.
Not the Jaguars?
Yeah.
The Jaguars.
There's a lot of people that do the wires thing. It's wars.
It's got to stop.
Jaguars.
Yeah. It's not that difficult. It's U-A-R.
It's a lot of people pronounce it that way.
Oh, I know. I know. So Battle's supposed to be like our voice guy.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be pronounced like...
You hold our voice kind of a higher standard.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that he would be able to pronounce it or at least workshop it so that he can put it out there pronounced properly.
How do you say it, Hugh? Who did
Jaguars.
You... Yeah, see, and you played for them. You know. Yeah, you were literally a Jaguar.
And if you can't physically do it, just call them the Jags.
Yes.
It's not hard.
If you're struggling, just
call
them.
Is that worse than Jack saying the Bengals?
Oh, yeah.
That's awful. That's
Bengals.
Yeah, that's a tough
Isn't
one.
Isn't that the brace that the women wear, Bengals?
It's an 80s band, too, isn't it?
Yeah, the Bengals.
Yeah.
Or like an Egyptian?
Yes.
Bengals isn't a hard word either.
No, it's not.
I mean, there's some hard words around the NFL. Tagovailoa. I mean, like, there's some hard words around the NFL. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Eric Bieniemy. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. Jaguars.
That one, too.
Yeah, whatever that one.
Yeah, whatever that one was.
If I remember that one correctly, you just were really... You didn't want to say something wrong, and you just...
Yeah, that was a self-censorship.
Yeah, it was.
It's rare when someone stumbles over their words, like, to literally stumble. Like, you almost fell out of your chair trying not to say something wrong.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, I get comfortable, and cuss words tend to, you know, they rise up. You know, I almost feel like trying to dump it.
Like, you know, when you're passionate about Hassan Reddick or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
Hassan Reddick been on four of the freaking football team.
This whole dude telling me that my mattress is going to be here ASAP and then telling me I got to wait to Friday. Yeah, I'm passionate about that.
Yeah, he had a long talk and personal conversation during the break. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Ross Tucker here. We talked to him yesterday about Jalen Hurts and what he saw from Jalen that was different Sunday compared to the other games this season.
Yep, so two things really jumped out. Number one, and this is big with me, when he decided to run, guys, there was no hesitation. He was decisive. That is huge. You know, just the fact that he got back, it wasn't there, didn't like it, saw an opening, boom, he was gone. That's what I've been looking for, is for him to be more decisive in kind of everything he does, because that's always a good description and example that he knows the offense or is more comfortable. The other thing is, it felt like some of these weeks he was avoiding the middle of the field and not throwing it there, and also not really throwing those in-breaking routes into zone coverage, just kind of trying to wait for man-to-man and the fades down the sideline. Boy, he ripped a couple of those, even into some tight windows. By far his best game.
I think that's a great word, Hugh, that Ross used yesterday, decisiveness. Because sometimes with Jalen, it feels like he's caught in between. Am I staying in the pocket? And then what do I do? Do I buy time? Do I back up? Do I try to get away from a sack? And then sometimes it ends up as a nothing play, or he throws it away, or he takes a sack. And then he tries to run, and maybe it doesn't go anywhere. Sunday, it felt like when he was deciding to throw and stay in the pocket, he stayed, right? And then he threw it. And when he decided to run, which was quite a few times, he just took off and ran. It felt like Sunday... He was dictating the game more than letting the defense dictate it to him.
Yeah, and a lot of times that's what you have to do, Joe. You got to make those decisions quick. It's funny that he said that, because on the other side of the ball, the pass rushers, the way that the Cincinnati Bengals were setting them, they were kind of jump setting, which I mean by that is they were kind of jumping outside, taking away that outside pass rush. If they would have saw that a little bit earlier and jumped inside, they probably could have had a couple more sacks. There was a lot of sacks left on the table because they were afraid. The tackles for the Cincinnati Bengals, they were afraid of the speed of the Philadelphia Eagles. So once they start to recognize that, they'll be okay. But you can't – the bottom line is this, long talking a little bit. You have to make those decisions quick, because those holes and those gaps close up quick.
They do. Black Gritty's up next. What's up, Black Gritty?
The Bengales and the Jack Ware. I got it nailed down. First of all, Hugh – you better watch what you said about Ben Kirko. You want them lemon pepper wangs, you know what I mean? Atlanta's run by a new gangster out there.
I was showing Joe. I was like, he talking about we fighting no cap. We run your trap. We run up in your trap. We take your trap.
I'm just saying, you want them wangs, you're going to have to take them.
Man, yeah, I got. Hey, listen, I got to start calling folks and let them know I'm in the city now because Kurt didn't took over.
Hey, Lord knows. And Bizarro Joe, I'm on you. If you don't let this Brock Purdy, are you watching football, bro?
Yeah.
They're 4-4 getting saved by their defense. They just beat the Cowboys. Like, shut up about Brock Purdy, bro. Like, I'm serious, bro. I'm about to ship you off.
He's a good quarterback.
Don't make him come down here.
Listen, all I said is he's a good quarterback.
Get him, BJ.
He's an average, okay quarterback with the Shanahan system. Plug and play. Everybody over there does the same thing. Besides Trey Lance, that guy, he sucks.
Now he's bad. Man, yeah.
Everybody you stick in there works out. So shut up about dang old Brock Purdy. You make me sick. Now back to something that you and I know very well, Joe Giglio. Back when you used to hang up on me. Oh, we're back to the days of Calandra clowns and Brett clowns and just absolutely embarrassing ownership from the Philadelphia 76ers. That call earlier, It really is embarrassing. This is the first time in 5 years I'm not seeing a ticket holder no more. Like, what does Elton Brand do? I want to be that when I come back. I want to get that job to just get paid and do nothing. Nice people everywhere, right? But they lied to your face. You gave this guy an extension for absolutely no reason. You're right, Hugh. It must be a parachute. What video does he have on somebody? You know what I mean? Does he have the ownership on there doing something with P. Diddy? Like, I really need to know why this guy got an extension.
Yeah, that's wild.
He went out there and didn't get that. He wanted to play in the Olympics so bad. So much so, you put the rest of your career in jeopardy to go out there with a super team that was going to win without you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't wait another four. Oh, yeah, because you probably won't be playing 4 years. So this was your only time to get on an Olympic team. It's gross and sickening, and it drives me crazy. Now, Jalen Hurts, he's closer to being what you saw this weekend, because I looked at the rest of the schedule, than he is from being farther away from it. So get on board the train if he was jumping off. I want Seth Joyner to talk on Twitter like he talks on the radio. Because one bad pass early in the quarter, and Seth was out on Jalen Hurts forever. And he got on his radio station and sounded like a rational human being. I love it. I like it. And Hugh, he's about to down.
We going to do it. They can't. They be done. No, he riding the bus.
Get that bus ready, Black Gritty.
He ain't riding no bus.
Man, could you imagine what the demand for the spots on the bus? We're headed to New Orleans.
No, this ain't going
to
be no demand. It's only one seat.
Your brother's driving?
No, it's only one seat. Yet? No, I haven't talked to him yet. Only going to be one seat that needs to be filled. Now, the rest of it is luggage.
The problem is now is that there's issues with the afternoon show and our relationship.
Well, that's
you might have to abandon Ike and
abandon. You know
we'll get to them, especially that top 5-5 man. Yesterday, which was a little bit much.
I can't abandon Ike.
He might be abandoning you.
Well, is Ike good to go on the bus, or does he just want to go ride with you?
No, this is me.
But I think you missed
lines in the sand have been drawn yesterday, Hugh. Yeah,
you missed the reality here. That your trip that you planned with Ike is over. We're taking a bus down to New Orleans, and we're taking our listeners.
Yeah, we're commandeering
this. My co-host, he hijacked my trip.
Well, because I see an opportunity for the show. And I mean, so could you imagine the demand? Bus down to New Orleans with Hugh Douglas. Stop in Atlanta for Lemon Pepper Wings.
Let me tell you. I saw Herb the other night, right?
Yep.
Herb was like, yo, you coming to get this couch or what? And I'm like, nah. Herb, I'm good.
Play with me?
But Herb was real aggressive with the couch taking.
You better keep your mouth down.
Herb, and then, Herb was about to put hands on Howard, too.
What?
No. Oh. That's a topic for another hour.
All right, let's go to Nick Sirianni's Wednesday press conference.
What you got, Dallas? Any questions?
You already asked?
No, they might not be.
You playing?
I don't see it. Should have asked Dallas how he's doing.
Got a video of you giving a team meeting, and you said to the team, sometimes you, sometimes me, always us. I was just curious why you decided this week was the week to deliver that message.
Yeah, you know, I think in football, everything, you know, one thing I talked about on Saturday was like, hey, here's always going to be these keys, but in football, it's always going to come down to, you know, who's the toughest. It's always going to come down to who's most detailed, and it's always going to come down to who has the best team, like, and I don't mean players, I mean team, right? And that's just never going to change in football. And so that was just one of the things I used to say, talk about team. I talked a little bit about detail. I talked a little bit about toughness. And then that was one thing I used from team. I actually got that from Johnny Wilson He had a shirt on that said that. I thought it was pretty cool.
Speaking of toughness, you've had Saquon's done it, Devontae's done it, AJ does it all the time, but finishing off runs near the sideline. But like, what's the teaching? How do you teach your receivers to like not put themselves in a situation where maybe they could get hurt or lose the ball by continuing their runs after the catch?
Yeah, you want to be physically tough in everything that you do. There's a time and place to step out of bounds. There's a time and place to put your head down and finish the run. And when you do put your head down and finish the run, it brings a lot of energy to the sideline. It brings a lot of energy to the game, you know, just like a big-time catch would. And the energy that happens on the sideline, you know, we show those. We actually show those and be like, hey, here's our standard of how we finish on the sideline. Now, I've had receivers that were smaller receivers that I didn't want them to do that at all times. But, you know, Devontae is so tough. AJ's tough. Saquon's tough. Dallas, I think if you really go back and look at all of Dallas's clips, when he has an opportunity to go out of bounds or be violent on the sideline, he's choosing to be violent, and it sparks your team. It's like a big hit. Like, I think the similar question would be, Jeff, would be like, how do you teach a guy to knock the crap out of somebody or just get them down, right? And it's the same deal. As far as the ball security goes, you're always thinking about how you have the ball in your outside arm. That way you can do what you need to do on the sideline. Like, if you have the ball in your inside arm, it's hard to play pound on the sideline, or it's hard to use your stiff arm on the sideline. So we always teach the ball security of having it on your outside arm. So that way, if you do have a fumbling issue, something that pops out, at least it pops out to the side of the, to where the out of bounds is.
Nick, you mentioned that on the radio that Doug was helpful to you during your transition to head coach. Can you just expand on that a little bit? Like, in what ways was he helpful?
Yeah, you know, again, I always want to keep conversations that I have with other people private. And, you know, I just felt like he was helpful with me with people on the roster and how the building is and just everything. I just felt like, you know, it's just something that I always admired. I always try to put myself in that scenario. I'm like, would I help? And I don't know if I have that in me to do that. And I admire people that do. And hopefully, and I'm teasing when I say that, but hopefully I can pay that back for other coaches. I think that's what's cool about the coaching fraternity, is that like we all got here because of other coaches and that the time that they put into us to help us get better, and we need to pay that forward. And so I always admire Doug for that, and I'll try to do the same.
And can you talk about the physicality of your team? Does that come from an emphasis on it, or does it come from just having players who are physical?
Both. Definitely both. I think it starts for sure like with having players that are physical. But everything you want to be has to be emphasized. If you want to be a team that protects the ball well, you got to emphasize it. You want to play it, just like I'm talking about with the, you know, the clips on the sideline. I'm going to show it. You know, I'm going to show Smitty lowering his head on the sideline and not lowering his head. He can't do that, but lowering his shoulder on the sideline and finishing the run. Because I know that's just one piece of it. Like, we're talking about the, you know, Jeff asked me about the finishing on the sideline. That's just one piece of it. You know, the slice block where you come across the line of scrimmage and have to throw your body, when a tight end has to throw his body into a defensive end, you know, that's part of it, right? And so it's hard to, like, turn it off and say, okay, on this I'm going to be super tough and on this I'm not. But, like, I have the picture of Grant in my office now of the New Orleans game where he came across and threw his body into the defensive end to allow Saquon to score the touchdown to help put us up. You know, you talk about that with the way you are physical as blockers, the way you tackle, the way you get off blocks. Like, there's no – like, getting off blocks is not – there's never going to be some – it's not a way that – it's a football thing, right? It's something that is designed to, you know, you have to strike somebody in the chest, and not only that, you have to take your hands and then throw them off you and finish with an arm rip or whatever you need to do, or your hand swipes to finish and to be able to go tackle the ball carrier. So, like, everything in football has to do with this. So, like, If I talk about football and it's always about team, it's always about physicality, it's always about detail, well, then I have to emphasize that. But again, make no mistake about it, we look for that. When, you know, Howie and I talk about that all the time. We're looking for players that are physical football players because we know this is a physical game. And I think that I always feel like when we've played our best here is when we've really set the tone physically. But you can't do that without the players that we have. So I do think it's a both and, but you know, all the credit goes to the players because they're the ones out there doing that with their body.
Nick, in the past year, you guys suffered when Dallas went down receiving yards wise from your tight end position. Fran's obviously picked that up. Was there something you saw from him through training camp or through the off season that has led him to be able to contribute that way?
Yeah, I think it all started with Grant when we first got him and what we liked so much about him. I remember the rookie minicamp. Grant made some really unbelievable plays in rookie minicamp where we're like, yeah, we got something here. And we thought that obviously why we drafted him from his tape. But then, you know, I think that he's, you know, and opportunities that he's had here and there, he's made the most of it. And then I think he just had an outstanding offseason. You know, the OTAs portion of it, I think we've really started to just have more and more faith in Grant because of the work that he put in, because of the development that he had done. You know, Jason Michael's done a great job of helping him develop, and Grant's done a great job developing himself. Dallas takes a big pride into helping his teammates become better. And then he had, you know, a good training camp, and now he has this opportunity. He had this opportunity with Dallas down to have some balls thrown to him, and he's done a really nice job. And so, again, that guys taking advantage of their opportunities is huge. Like for their, not only for your football team, right? Because guys are going to go down. Like Fred has stepped in and done a nice job. Tyler Steen stepped in and did a nice job. You know, Grant, Isaiah. It's huge for your football team, but it's also huge for these guys and their careers moving forward.
On Steen, you entered training camp on right guard, saying you didn't have to make a decision. You know, you've gotten offensive production with Becton or Steen in there. How do you view that position when they're both in the game, and how do you view that position now, 7 games in the season?
Yeah, we have great depth. Again, credit to Howie and his staff for the guys that they brought in here. Credit to Coach Stout. To developing that and Kellen to help develop that talent. And then the credit to the guys of being ready to step in. And I think that, you know, Tyler played a really good game. Mekhi's been playing really good football. Tyler played a really good game. Tyler, you know, played a good game last year when he stepped in and helped us win a division game last year. And then, but yeah, I have a lot of faith in both of them. And you know, it's been, those guys having those combo blocks with Lane have been exciting to watch, and when those guys have combo blocks with Cam, they've been exciting to watch. Again, going back to the physicality of how those guys play.
Nick, you just mentioned all the backups who've had to play bigger roles. How do you get guys to buy in to being backups and preparing like they're going to play, even though they might not?
Yeah, you know, you talk about it. I think first and foremost, you tell everybody what their role is, and I think that's just the honesty of being, hey, here's what your role is, but understand in this game that any moment, at any time, your role can change, and you can have an elevator role, and you could also have a decreased role if you're not, you know, performing the way you need to in practice. And so it's like, we talk a lot about practice and how you get better is that high intensity of practice. Well, these guys are going, you know, for instance, Tyler, you know, is going against Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams in practice frequently on the scout team to help himself, you know, to help them get ready, but also to help himself get better. And then you celebrate it when the guys do come in and they perform. Like, that's not new. Like, I think back a long time, like Jack Driscoll has stepped in and played some meaningful games for us that have helped us win a lot of football games. Nate Herbick, name from the past that helped us. I mean, that the list goes, you know, Landon wasn't starting right away, right? And then he came in and he ran with that. Cam, right? And so the stories are endless and all, again, you talk a lot about controlling what you can control. Okay. You didn't win this starting job, but now control what you can control and just continue to be better, get better. And when it's your numbers called, you got to take advantage of that by the preparation. And you never really know when that's going to happen, so you always got to be prepared. And that's why every week is so critical of putting your head down and working and not worrying about anything else other than the things that you can control. I mean, shoot, I think that you talk to our players and they're going to say, I mean, I think that'd be something that they would say a bunch is like, you create a culture and you create a mindset of all these things that are important. I think that's been one thing that's been really important.
We saw Jalen get late into some of his progressions, maybe a little more so this past week than previously.
Say that one more time, Jeff.
Some of Jalen's completions were late into his progressions. Did you notice that? And has there been
like number two, three, four receiver?
Yeah.
I think he did.
You guys been working on help him in that regard?
Yeah, I think that's just the him getting through his read and getting to the guy that's open. Again, you always want to be on attack and you always want to go to where you want to throw the ball, but that's not the reality of playing quarterback. And so, I thought it was really good. I thought what he did really well, particularly in this game, is like when he had that time. Like I think there was one that he hit AJ over the middle that he had to hold on to and let the second window clear. That doesn't happen without the protection of the offensive line and the run action of the running back and the quarterback. And so, and then just from that, it's just something that we've seen him do, and particularly in practice. I know last week he got down to his check down multiple times, and then it showed up. It's awesome when it shows up in the game. I just think, again, he's playing quarterback at a high level. Playing quarterback at a high level is not just, throwing the ball accurate. It's going to the right place with the ball, and the right place with the ball could be their third or fourth read.
What's the conversation about how specific roles, on the conversation of specific roles, what is Jahan Dotson's role?
Yeah, again, I don't get into with you guys as far as this is this person's role. That's kind of something that I have with our team of, hey, this is what your role is. This is what your job description is. Here's what we need you to do. What I will say, though, is that I know the ball didn't come to Jahan on Sunday, but I did notice him blocking his butt off and helping our run game go, helping. I think there's a play on Saquon's bubble that we threw to him that he got a block that allowed Saquon to, he played tough and played strong and was able to, to get that block. And I see him improving every day, just being around the guys that he's around. Aaron Moorhead's doing a good job, and he's doing a good job of getting better.
When Doug was helping you out with the roster, did you get a sense like how excited he was, or if he was excited about Jalen's future?
Yeah, again, that's a long time. I don't want to get too much into the conversation. Again, Doug helped me, just talk through things, other coaches, all everything. And so, I don't want to get too much into that conversation. But I know Doug thought, you'll have to ask Doug. I mean, I think he thought Jalen was pretty darn good, though.
You mentioned two more folks?
Last year, you said that a point differential is not something you pay as much attention to. But these double-digit wins from an isolated game perspective, does that matter? Do you think that says something about a team when you can win big?
I always I think we look a lot at things and like, man, that team won a really gritty game. And we celebrate that, and I think that we celebrate at times when you win by a couple scores and you're able to get your starters out. So a win's a win, and they're hard to come by in this league. Right now we got five of them. We got two non-wins, and we're going to continue to try to work this week to get the sixth one.
You mentioned Cam a couple times. Somewhat large sample size now. He had big shoes to fill. We kind of don't even talk about him now because he's playing so well. Anything surprising about Cam and his ability to step into that role?
I think that there were questions. There weren't questions on Cam being able to do that role because we got to see him play last year. It wasn't that was a really unique thing that Cam was able to go through of being Jason's backup for a year and then being playing alongside Jason and then, taking Jason's spot when Jason retired. And so I think we all expected Cam to do this because we've seen him play at a high level. And it's going to be a little different that he's playing a different position, but no surprises on our end, and really pumped out Cam's playing, and you just got to keep going.
Nick, after the Bengals game, Jalen talked about
the desire to have more of an imposing mentality as a team. He said it's something that he's been pushing for. What's an example of how he's pushed for that?
Yeah, I think when you know, imposing, I think we've talked a lot about that with our physicality and how we go about, trying to win games. And like I said, every time we've been good here, and played at our best, we've been a physical football team, and because of the men in this room, and so I know we're always constantly talking to Jalen about, and Jalen's always constantly talking about to us about what's comfortable with, what he feels good about, and you're just always trying to put them in positions to succeed. And so I think it's just the conversations you have throughout the week with the quarterbacks and coaches.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There it is. The Nick Sirianni press conference. I'll talk about physicality, the play of Jalen Hurts. We'll continue to react to it. This hour sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right. Coming up, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Do you expect that Jalen Hurts, the one we saw Sunday, the rest of this season? Hugh does. I'm not there. That's a very high bar for me. Your reaction to the latest report on Joel Embiid's injury and a what-if Wednesday. This is a fun one, considering who's coming back to town this week. 215-592-9494.